ever written a manifesto for something you believe in strongly? Let's have a raise of hand. Who has written a manifesto? Oh. No, Irene did. Irene raised her hands too. Great. Wonderful. I wonder what was that experience for you? The first step for writing a manifesto is to figure out a dream that keeps you restless enough that you are willing to pour out your life to build it each day until it materializes. Take a moment to think about what you dream for yourself, or your family, or the community you are part of, or even the world. I wrote my first manifesto a few years ago as one of the assignments of the UBC course titled Dismantling Barriers to Inclusion in Organizations. I and a group of my staff enrolled in the course to train ourselves so that we can offer trainings to others to strengthen the sense of inclusion and diversity within the organizations. We were asked to write one about how we want to dismantle barriers within the organization I was part of. Then I learned that a manifesto is an articulation of how you want to dedicate your time, energy, and resources moving forward. It's a statement of values and intentions. It asserts a desire for change and transformations on different levels and can serve as a guide or compass for our desired outcomes. That is what a manifesto is supposed to be. This simple assignment led me down an unexpected deep dive into my experience living in the margins as an immigrant, visible minority, and a gay man of faith. The resulting manifesto, titled Workplace Inside Out, was brushed and jam-packed with gusto and honesty. What if this familiar prayer we have known as the Lord's Prayer was Jesus' manifesto of a world God dreams of? What if? Little did the disciples know what they may get, likely out of the curiosity, while watching the teacher praying in silence, they asked Jesus, "Lord, teach us how to pray." Jesus probably grinned, took a moment to collect his thoughts, and unveiled his manifesto of God's dream for humanity and creation in a few simple declarations that we have come to know by heart as the Lord's Prayer today. To Luke the evangelist, Jesus came to fulfill the prophet Isaiah's prophecy of a time of redistributive economics of Jubilee release. That vision outlined in Leviticus and Deuteronomy in the Hebrew scriptures, something he shared earlier in the gospel when Jesus was at the synagogues in Nazareth. You remember Jesus picking, the story of Jesus picking up the scroll of Isaiah and said to bring good news to the poor. He sends me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set those who are oppressed, to proclaim the years of the Lord's favor, aka the Jubilee, when debts are being forgiven, when community get a chance to right relationships and start all over again, so that all may have a chance to live. To help us enter more deeply into Luke's abridged versions of this prayer, which Donnell read, we turn to Psalm 85, a prayer for restorations of God's favor we chanted earlier. This prayer was written during a troubled time when the people of Israel were in exile in foreign lands. It's daunting to us today to realize how the fortunes have turned in our modern days. In pleading with God to return the same steadfast love God shown to their ancestor Jacob, whom God brought back from Egypt and restore the fortunes of his descendants, the prayer went on using a poetic metaphor of a growing field to present to its listener what God's salvation may look like. Malene Mabee, in her contributions to the Wild Lectionary this week, summarizes it nicely in these words, open quote, "The heart of the psalm is a vision of shalom, the deep, holistic peace of God. When steadfast love and faithfulness, two attributes and nature of God that echoes in many parts of the Hebrew scriptures, will meet, when righteousness and peace will kiss each other, faithfulness will spring up from the ground and righteousness will look down from the sky." She said, what is remarkable about this vision is that the healing of the land and the restorations of the people are inseparably linked. God's salvation is just not to us. The whole creation responds. The healing of the land is an important sign of God's steadfast love meeting our response of faithfulness. When God's steadfast love joins with human faithfulness, a new world dawns, one in which there is food enough for all and every person is fed. Righteousness and peace intertwine, and the abundance of the earth flowed from restored relationships. I think Jesus may have Psalm 85 in his mind when he prayed, "Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us." Sin is no longer that stain in our soul but is being expressed in economic terms is how we, what we have indebted each other, and do not bring us to the time of trial. In his manifesto, Jesus revealed the dream of the Creator of a restored creation where the land provides daily bread for all to live in right relationships. As followers of the way that Jesus showed us, we are called to take up this manifesto and be active agents partnering with our Creator to make it happen so that on earth as in heaven. Clint McCain, a leading Psalm scholar down in the US, regarded biblical salvation as the creation and the restorations of conditions that make life possible in all its fullness for all people and creation. Salvation being expressed in the creations of conditions that all may have a chance to live, not just to survive, but to live fully. What do we see examples of these today? I was at the Langley Senior Resource Society, the senior center, yesterday, participating in a volunteer organizations to the Langley Pride that the senior center is hosting two weeks from now. And after the orientations, I was speaking to one of the staff there at the senior center. And I just, out of curiosity, asked, I am quite surprised when I learned about that the senior center is hosting the Langley Pride. Why? What was the story that the senior centers took this on? And then she told me the story that it was probably a few that the most reasons a strategic planning a meeting for the organizations. They look around everybody who comes to the center. One thing they noticed that is that all their members look so white. There was not a lot of diversity in the organization. And as a result, they want to connect their service with more people of diverse background, origins in the community. And when they notice that in this community, there is no people flying the flag to hold a pride event, they decided to give it a try 3 years ago. And what I was really impressed with their vision is they begin in not just looking at the needs of their own members, but really reading widely the needs of the community out there, and then look back within the abundance of gift and talents among its membership, how they may serve the communities. And the surprising thing is, they didn't plan on this happening. By hosting this event, they allow intergenerations of people coming through the center, getting to know their space and their programs. And through these outreaches, they now have a much more diverse group of volunteers coming to assist the work of the senior center. I thought that was a good news story. So how can we use Jesus' manifesto, aka the Lord's Prayer, to inspire ourselves and this parish community to bring forth God's kingdom of peace and justice in our local community? I would first want to say that this church has done this before, and in fact, many times. You are not new to this. You have a long history of answering the needs of the community. Diane told me the story of how ESL classes started here many years ago, and the community meals, and now evolve into a take-out meal. But what current needs in our community can we attend to out of the abundance we enjoy here? How do we fulfill the needs of life to the people, let's say, within 2 kilometers radius from our church? And what can we learn from the story of the Langley Senior Resource Center? Maybe it is time for you to write your own manifesto, or collectively, a manifesto for St. Dunstan's. To end, I'm happy to share the last 4 lines of my assignments. Read. We are more than the power we have over others. We are a lot more than the limits other people and other systems set for us. The more people thrive, the stronger the organization is achieving our mission. Join me in turning this organization inside out. May this be so.